Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Madam Mayor, I want to apologize if I was out of line in how I presented myself to Mr. Andrade's outburst a while ago. I do want to say, though, that I've asked before about the social media policy for staff. Part of the reason that I responded in anger like I did was because today, all day long, Mr. Andrade has harassed and harangued me on Facebook. And it's juvenile, it's inappropriate and totally unprofessional for someone that is an attorney and state representative. I know not for our district, but next door.
I'm super sorry for getting angry here in the meeting as a result of somebody being mean to me all day on Facebook. The apology blame session. You know, I'm starting to have an idea. This is Pam Mitchell, who's a local citizen activist, Save Our Blackwater, you know, opposition to the wastewater treatment plant, that kind of stuff. Pitchfork Posse founding member, if that helps you contextualize where comments are coming from. Of course, Alex Andrade, she's talking about city attorney, who responds on Facebook to a lot of things that he thinks are inaccurate. And, you know, it's still ironic to me that, you know, she, who is often championing the importance of First Amendment and free speech and public comment, is also wanting to stifle the ability of Alex Andrade to comment on Facebook and be engaged in public comment on matters that are related to him as a state representative, presumably. So just interesting little bit there. I got an idea, John. You ready? As we're entering Act 3 of our Days of Our Milton melodrama for today.
Yeah.
What if the city of Milton hired a full-time therapist to chaperone the meetings?
Perfect.
And work with people on their anger and their bitterness and their frustration and their unforgiveness. You know, I mean, it can't make it worse.
No, it can't.
It couldn't possibly make it worse. All right, so much later in the meeting, that was in a discussion about having an official ordinance to enforce some of the changes in the rules for how the meetings are conducted in order to facilitate decorum, at least is the purported intent. We'll see how it turns out, because I just don't think you can wrangle that cat, personally. I think you can make all the rules you want to make, and it's in the nature of the beast, so to speak, which is why the series will never get canceled. Later on in the meeting, Alex Andrade gave a kind of a foreboding sort of comment. He said, there's two items that I need to bring to your attention. One turned out to be this completely weird thing that City Councilwoman Marilyn Farrow did, where he sent her an email advising her about the discussion to compensate the city clerk when they were terminating her, after they were terminating her. And then she printed that out and then took a photo of it and then emailed it from a private email to the clerk, who then sent it to the mayor in what seems to me to be a clear effort to bypass the public records possibilities that all of these things entail. That's its own separate story. We're on now on to story number three from the Milton City Council meeting. And I'll let Alex Andrade explain.
The second instance was related to Councilman Cusack. In May, I reached out to Councilman Cusack because I saw a pattern of public record emails being forwarded to Councilman Cusack's private email. I inquired privately of Councilman Cusack exactly what the intent and purpose was of forwarding public records to his private work email.
Fair question. Why would you be copying work, you know, your public records to your private email?
At the time, I was told by Councilman Cusack that he was forwarding these emails to himself in his private work email simply to print them out and use them for his personal use.
Which still seems a little weird, but okay. And by the way, I have told you this story before, but you've never heard this story told out loud the way Alex Andrade is going to tell it. Okay? So continuing on, and be prepared for a naughty word in here. And in order to understand the significance of the naughty word, Alex Andrade asked Tom Powers and many other people to provide him with public records. Tom Powers, who doesn't like Alex, provided him with a fairly significant public record dump and had a certain title attached to that public record dump, which will become, well, evident here in a moment. So just that's the backdrop of what you're about to hear.
Approximately 1 month later, I received a document entitled Text Messages for Ass that was drafted and produced to the city and created a public record by a voluntary board member, Mr. Tom Powers.
So, text messages for ass is not like a transaction you're proposing. Text messages for ass is text messages for Alex Andrade, who I think is an ass, right? That's literally what he called the file. I've seen the public record. I have them. It's called that. So, if you thought it was juvenile before.
Within that document, text messages for ass, there was text communications between Councilman Cusack and Mr. Powers where Councilman Cusack stated he was sending public record emails using his work email.
I know you can't think about anything other than text messages for ass, but okay, here goes.
I followed up privately with Councilman Cusack and said, I need you to review again your private work emails because this obviously contradicts what you've just recently, the week prior, told me about your use of public records via your work email. Please review this. Review again your text messages, because obviously there were text messages that were not produced in response to a previous public records request. And there was nothing but silence for a month.
So he doesn't answer. And remember that Alex now has possession of the giant text messages that then implicates a failure of many other people to provide their public records, right? Because he's got them from the one source, which means that the others should have provided them, and they pretend that they don't exist. And now he's asking Mike Cusack, well, where is all this stuff? And he didn't get an answer. We'll come back to this in a second as the saga unfolds. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. But I'm seeing some major delays if you're traveling northbound on Palafox, right past First Baptist Church, Pensacola, all the way through the Cervantes intersection. Seeing some major delays there, so pack your patience. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You can't believe it, right?
I just I don't, man.
Every meeting we go back a grade.
I tried to hold it
in. 8th grade, 7th grade, 6th grade. Pretty soon we'll all be back in kindergarten Keystone Cops, which is kind of what all this sounds like. So again, back to the Mike Cusack, not providing the requested public records.
And then the day after,
By the way, Mike Cusack's a city councilman. I'm sorry. If you're new to all this, I apologize. It's a Russian novel, and keeping track of all the players is what makes it so entertaining.
And then the day after, I provided a refresher course on public records and the Sunshine Law to this council. I received an email from Councilman Cusack stating that he got a new phone and did not make any attempt to preserve the text messages on that previous phone, which were public record, and that all of the emails on his work email are destroyed regularly.
Which is a violation of state law, right? You're destroying public records. So he did not properly caretake the records that were on his phone, and he actually has acknowledged destroying routinely the records that he keeps at his private work email where he forwards stuff to himself and presumably also does other things with those emails besides just looks at them for his own happiness. So Alex is bringing this up because,
again, I cannot do my job if I'm getting false information or having information withheld from me. And I am sincerely trying to convey to this entire council that the culture of noncompliance, the culture of bad faith, the inability to be honest and transparent is going to harm the city.
Because you're going to do something with all of these shenanigans, it's actually going to put us in jeopardy.
In response to my notification to Councilman Cusack that what he had just told me was that he had destroyed public records and made no effort to maintain public records, he then told me that he had never received training on public records or ethics or the Sunshine Law from the city.
You remember I've explained all this before, and I read you some of the email exchange explaining this, but this is the first time somebody's saying it out loud in a public meeting. Again, the city attorney, Alex Andrade.
I had to remind Councilman Cusack that he signed twice under penalty of perjury on his financial disclosures, which are an annual requirement of every council member, that he met the four-hour requirements for ethics and public records and sunshine training that the state requires of every public official, including the voluntary board members that serve on the city's voluntary boards. In response to that, I again received silence.
So, you remember this was the whole problem of, where are these public records? Oh, don't you know they were on my phone that I got rid of and in my email that I delete all the time? You just admitted that you're deleting public records. Well, until yesterday, this is a meeting a month or two ago, I didn't even know what a public record was. But you sign an affidavit every time you put your financial disclosure that says you do understand public records and sunshine laws and the things you're supposed to follow as the rules of ethics. Meaning that, you know, you've kind of explained away that, you know, I couldn't have been stealing the bike. I was too busy robbing the bank, you know. it's amazing. So what does Alex want out of all this?
I'm not asking the council to take any action on the two instances I've just brought up. If you want to, it's well within your right. If you're not satisfied with my commentary on those two topics, you're well within your right to terminate your relationship with me. But what I am relaying and what I am sincerely reminding y'all, as I cannot do my job protecting the city if I'm being lied to by the elected officials who actually asked for the trust of the voters of the city. I cannot protect you, and I'm ethically bound to protect you. I'm required by the oath that I took to be a member of the bar to protect y'all. I can't do it if you're lying to me.
So he's A, explaining that you're lying to me a lot, and B, stop it, because I can't do my job to protect you if that's the case. And this is a matter of public trust, as he's going to explain.
I do feel obligated at this point to remind y'all, when you ask the citizens of the city of Milton to vote for you to sit in these chairs, you as a city council have the police power, meaning any power that's not prohibited by a state statute or Florida Constitution, you have to enact. You annually have the ability to take by force, literally at gunpoint, money from the citizens of the city of Milton or their property if they don't pay those taxes.
And if you can't follow these basic rules, how can the public trust you that you're going to do other stuff ethically?
At some point, if that position is not taken more seriously, additional harm is going to be caused by the city because that public trust is going to continue to be violated.
These are not light matters. Some of these are ethics violations. Some of them look like crimes. And the just complete willful disregard of them is so repulsive. I mean, we joke about the city of Milton and all the melodrama, and there's true. It's a lot of, just a lot of kindergarten bickering, which is entertaining. But we're now talking about, I mean, people are texting me like, Andrew, why isn't the state attorney investigating? I don't know. I mean, Jeff Snow asked for an investigation at the meeting, and Alex says,
Snow, the iron is not lost on me that when I contacted Councilman Cusack on May 23rd, 2024, I shared with him the text communication from August 21st, where he stated in a text message immediately after discussing sharing public records using his work email, that the state needs to start a wholesale investigation into this city and the collusion and crap needs to stop. Direct quotes from Councilman Cusack.
So Cusack is saying the collusion and crap needs to stop, bring in a state attorney's investigation. He's one of the worst offenders. Like, this is the problem.
I would welcome a wholesale state attorney's investigation into this public records compliance issues that I keep identifying at these meetings. However, at this point, I believe that if the council can commit to actually acting transparently and avoiding discussions like this in the future by simply acting transparently, the city would be much better off.
I would welcome that, too. I mean, again, you have the investigation, and then you either find crimes and prosecute them, you find crimes and climb to prosecute, you find ethics violations and reprimand, or you find ethics violations and choose to do nothing, or you exonerate everybody, or some blend of all of that. But those are all good outcomes versus this death by a thousand drips of information that we have to go forcing people at the threat of various actions to get them to produce giant data dump files called text messages for ass, from which we learn that other public officials are doing all kinds of crazy stuff in Milton, because when there's no officials enforcing the law, then the elected officials will do whatever they want because nobody's. And so this is really, this is a Ginger Bowd Madden thing. This is, where is the state attorney's office on all of this? Jeff Snow says they need to investigate.
I mean, this continues to get pushed on and on and on until I believe people hope it goes away. Honestly, to clear the air, I'm in support of a state's attorney's office.
Agreed. Just like you would welcome an audit when there's financial problems, you should welcome a state attorney's investigation when there are clearly problems surrounding ethics, sunshine, and public records in the city of Milton. That's it. Just do it. 725 on News Radio Pensacola. That is, I said there'd be four acts. I think I'm going to let you off with three acts today because it's enough. It's enough. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Starting to see some delays on Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola through that construction zone. Other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you own a company, you've got employees, you've got to deal with benefits and HR and payroll. Hey, listen up. Torgerson Causey does this. They do it well. They've been doing it for more than two decades here locally. We started using them about 7 years ago here at News Radio and Cat Country and ESPN Pensacola, and I love them. They've been great. I mean, you know, look, they can't make the market be what I wish it would be, but they can give me choices and plans and alternatives that I didn't have and better alternatives than I had before and answer my questions better than the service that we used to use and just be all around a fantastic resource because they have been that. And I say that not just for me, but, you know, my wife's an industrial engineer by training. She asks hard questions. They always have good answers. And if they don't, they go find them. They get back to her and gives her good. I mean, she gives them her stamp of approval. Very hard to get. So Torgerson Causey, my wife recommends them. I recommend them. They have been great for us here at News Radio and Cat Country. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God. So rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Join the thousands of recyclers who strive to eliminate recycling contamination every day by following the Core Four. The Core Four includes glass containers, plastics one and two, cardboard and mixed paper, and metal cans. Remember, if you're not sure if an item can be recycled, think, when in doubt, throw it out and put it in your garbage can instead of recycling. Visit ecua.fl.gov for more information. That's ecua.fl.gov. And thank you for being ECUA's recycling partner.
When America needed a hero, we turned to conservative Aaron Dimmock. A decorated combat pilot, Dimmock led missions against cartels in the Gulf. He'll take that fight to Biden's open border chaos. He's pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-Trump. Because Aaron Dimmock's a conservative fighter we can be proud of. Florida Patriots PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You remind me that money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Kamala Harris's presidential campaign now vetting potential running mates. They've requested vetting materials from several potential people that could join the vice president on the Democratic ticket. The possibilities include Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
And Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg is another one that people
Absolutely,
are talking
yeah.
about. I think that's a fairly high probability. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, made an interesting comment. Says the problem with continuing to pick not the best female candidates for this job with Hillary and now Kamala Harris is if Kamala Harris loses, it's going to make it seem like a woman can't win the job.
Right.
It's going to make it that much harder for any prospective future female candidate to be believed in, basically.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Biden speaks to the nation for the first time since dropping out of the race for another term.
Looks like this speech tonight is going to be less of a rallying cry to get behind Kamala Harris than a heart-to-heart with the country after the president's longest allies told him that his 54 years in public service needed to come to an end.
Fox's Jackie Hirons. It's set for 8 p.m. Eastern. The FBI leading the probe into the assassination attempt on former President Trump. FBI Director Chris Wray will answer questions this morning in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Texas Congressman Lance Gooden.
I want to know what information they have. I want to know what the plan is. I want to know what resignations are taking place. I want to know who's going to be held accountable, how this is not going to happen again. And I don't want any secrets.
The Republican on Fox. The International Olympic Committee picks Salt Lake City, Utah to host the 2034 Winter Games. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 79 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city's legal team is now discussing whether an appeal will be filed. This is after last week's ruling that the city had been illegally collecting franchise fees from Pensacola Energy customers.
I'm not going to talk about merits of the case. Again, this is really an open legal matter. It continues to be on the city side, and you know, so we're working with our outside counsel and of course through Adam and our city attorney's office for best next step.
That ruling said that the city would have to repay between $18 and $20 million to customers within city limits. The decision came after a class action lawsuit filed back in 2015. The State Board of Education will be making a decision today on whether high school athletes can be paid for endorsement deals.
So there are going to be hesitations. We're going to feel nervous. But I do really believe that this is going to put us on par with the rest of the country.
That is State Board of Education Chair Monica Colucci. She says name and image likeness deals are still a work in progress and things may have to be tweaked eventually. If the board does approve allowing high schoolers to profit off of their names, Florida would join 30 other states that have similar rules. Well, today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addresses a joint session of Congress. Later this week, he'll be hosted by Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago. Trump announcing on Truth Social this week that the two will be meeting on Friday, one day after Netanyahu's address to Congress. Motorcyclist taken to the hospital after a crash on I-10 West yesterday happened just west of Pine Forest Road. FHP says the rider was speeding in the inside lane of I-10 when another vehicle changed lanes that caused the crash. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office deputy was in the area and witnessed the crash, attempted to render aid to that rider who was then taken to Baptist Hospital. The rider did have serious injuries. We don't have a current update on their condition. The Perdido Key Multi-Use Trail is opened. A ribbon cutting was held yesterday. That path runs along the north side of Perdido Key Drive and spans about 6.5 miles from the Theobars Bridge to the Florida-Alabama state line. The path designed for bicycles and pedestrian traffic, motor vehicles are prohibited. And police in Gulf Breeze asking for the public's help. They're looking for a man who hasn't been seen since July 4th. Charles Sutherland, 53 years old, was reported missing on the 15th after not showing up for work on the 12th or the 13th. If you have any information on that, reach out to Gulf Breeze Police. It is 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about. If you're on North P Street, right around Pace Boulevard, you're going to see an accident. It's off to the side of the road. It's causing no issues and no delays, but I just wanted you to be informed about that. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms as we go throughout the day today. 70% chance of rain, high near 88. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 70% chance of rain does continue, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping the scattered showers around for Friday with a 70% chance of rain, high near 89. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now it's 79 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Let's get a look at our financial report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Google parent company Alphabet has reported second quarter results that were in line with analyst estimates on revenue and earnings, but missed on YouTube advertising. Alphabet's revenue was up 14% year over year, driven by search as well as cloud, which surpassed $10 billion in quarterly revenues and $1 billion in operating profit for the first time. Alphabet shares are down 4%. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has again highlighted the impending rollout of full self-driving software in China after reporting another quarter of disappointing earnings. The CEO said soon the company will ask for regulatory approval of the feature in Europe, China, and other countries, which he expects will come through by the end of the year. Currently, only Tesla's autopilot for navigating on highways is available in China. Futures are moderately lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 57, the NASDAQ down 10. That's Your Money Now.
And news time 7:36. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, FM 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Joining us here in studio, we have Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
Okay, a couple of incidents, unfortunately. I think the one that caught, for me anyway, the most attention was this three people in a car trying to buy marijuana from a dude or some kind of drug from a dude.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Smoke alarm Saturday, this Saturday beginning at 9 a.m. We've put in more than 730 smoke alarms from October 2023 to July 24, and we think we'll reach 800 by the end of August. And just to give you perspective, the Red Cross and how appreciative I am of our fire department, the entire fiscal year 23-24, the Red Cross, who is our amazing partner in this, they're the ones providing these smoke alarms that's allowing us to do this. I think they put in 100 for the fiscal year 23-24, and we're at 730. So it's been a really good partnership.
That's pretty impressive numbers-wise for kind of a pilot program that Pensacola Fire Department put together. So that's pretty cool. Joining us now, we have D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. That was from the press conference yesterday. D.C., welcome back to the show.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. I just think it's a neat program. As you mentioned yesterday, lots of other counties are and cities are looking at us and what we're doing and seeing, hey, fire alarms save lives, as we well know, right?
Yeah, and remember, you know, we had that rash of unfortunate, you know, tragedy where we had had a few fires where there was loss of life and even worse, caused with at homes that had no smoke detector in them. And so, you know, when you talk about how can you make a change, something that you can control, that's why we've gotten really passionate about this. And our fire departments in Red Cross have been awesome. And if you think about it, we've got 21,000 households in the city. If we went by sanitation, bills, about 20,800 or so. And this is 730 smoke detectors on our way to 800. You're talking about, when you think about 3% of the city, almost on average, I mean, that is really covering some ground, and it's inevitable. I guarantee you, in the next 5 years, 8 years, we're going to have a fire where lives are saved and property was saved by one of these. It's only a matter of time, and that we just know that loss of life increases so significantly when there's not a working smoke detector. So you know, they're out there saving lives. We don't know which ones yet, but we know it's inevitable that this will be, that someone's life will be saved by these efforts.
And this will probably wind up being the news we don't hear about because it doesn't happen, or because they are out safely and it's just a structure fire or something like that. But no, that's public safety, job one. That's good stuff. Lots of things to get to with you. First question, or just maybe a comment. I wanted to give you props on the air. As you well know, I was in Milwaukee last week and had a very good experience at the airport. Processed me quickly through TSA, and you know, both directions it went well. Did we talk about this last week? I can't remember if we did. Maybe we didn't. I apologize. But
I appreciate you saying that. And you know, just so you know, if you ever have a theory, you know, part of building a good reputation is, and I get it right now, if you posted something on social media that said, what do you think about airport lines? Because we felt a little pain.
Yeah.
But the fact of the fact, TSA tracks literally the average minutes per hour that it's taken someone to get through. So, I mean, we're happy with where we are, considering where we were. So I understand people having some frustration from previous, but I can tell you the data suggests our worst scenarios right now are inconvenience. Like, it's not someone missing a flight. I mean, we might have an hour where a machine's down and it's 30 minutes. 35 minutes, but if you're there an hour and 15 minutes before your flight, much less 2 hours, you're getting through.
Yeah, I had no problem. I was, I was cautious. I got there 2 hours ahead. The line looked long to me, and 16 minutes later, I was on my way to the terminal. I mean, it was very, and they were not just efficient, but very professional and courteous and helpful, the TSA agents. So it was like, you know, all around a very good experience from my perspective. You're gonna have a meeting, I think, tomorrow with county leaders about figuring out how the new homeless ordinance is going to affect plans to allow what? Camping and or building a shelter, which we can do not have the money for, but these are the kind of what we need to do, right?
Exactly. So we're basically called a meeting with city county leadership and staff to figure out that, you know, we've got an obligation coming October 1st in terms of what the state's asking us to do and what to be able to provide. So what's our next step? And so we've convened that meeting. We'll you know, see kind of what the county has going on or what their thoughts are. Certainly, you know, we have some thoughts, and you're right. It's why we brought John DeCarmine in that is running a very successful low barrier shelter. Was the last thing I wanted to do was say, yes, we're going to definitely open a low barrier shelter, and then all we have is $1 million, one-time money, and it's going to be at least that to buy a building, probably. Then we got to renovate it. Then we've got to operate it at $2+ million a year. So what I've said is I've kind of tabled that as a bigger community conversation, whether that's businesses, hospitals, city, county. You know, that's going to have to, if we're going to do that, that's going to be a significant lift that we've got to get a lot of people on board for, and can't be rushed by the time we've got to spend ARPA money by the end of this year. That's just not going to be realistic. So I'm committed to spending that last million, $1.1 million of ARPA on homeless reduction. We just might be pivoting how we do it kind of as something that can be in effect and go ahead and get us some housing and get us some improvement of our situation today, as opposed to something that may take a year or more to get everybody on board and be able to fund sufficiently.
And, you know, October 1st is going to get here fast. 3 months is not a long time for something that, you know, especially something of this scope that we've been dealing with for so long. I did want to ask you, it kind of makes me laugh, but it kind of doesn't, because I swear it is one of the questions I get the most often. I get asked questions about the graffiti bridge, you know, and I get asked questions about parking, and I get asked a lot. I say, what's going on with the Grand Hotel? Why isn't the Grand Hotel open? Yeah. What, you know, why doesn't the mayor do something about the Grand Hotel? And I like, what?
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Well, the equivalent way to think about it is, imagine if someone was emailing me and saying, hey, why don't you do something about that person's house over there in Pittsville? Not code enforcement, but
right.
I think it should have a second story on it. I mean, you know, in other words, this is private property that's owned. And if there's a code violation, or something like that, obviously we can step in and have some authority. But at the end of the day, I'm in at least regular communication with the owners. They are conditioning the building. I mean, they are preserving the building with the potential, sale. So I was trading emails with another person that their representatives have brought forward to us. I think that's our third. There was a national hotel chain. There was a local group. And now there's another group from Dallas or something, that we met with in person once, and we are going back and forth with. Now, remember, it's not our negotiation. This is not our property. Why are they meeting with us? Well, they're meeting with us, number one, to have some buy-in from the city. And number two is, like any one of these deals, they're looking at what their opportunities are to make this thing pencil. So what I can tell you and what they can tell the citizens is we are motivated. We've got a historic train station down there that I want to continue to stay preserved. I think that's in the public good. And so we are open to these conversations. And what I can tell you is every time someone calls my office and says, hey, I want to meet with the mayor about Grand Hotel, I move my schedule around to have that meeting, is what I can tell you right now. So we are motivated to get something there, but we also have to be realistic in what our limitations are. At the end of the day, this is private property, and all I can tell you is I know the owners are trying to keep and take care of it, and I know they're as motivated for something to happen there as I am. So we're continuing to work it, including to this moment, to this hour right now, and we'll do anything within our power to help get that back into the public realm.
You're telling me you can't just order PPE to go in there and take it over and make it open to the public with rooms and facilities, and that's not how that works?
Yeah, I got pinged enough on it. I thought about it. You know, just I was like, maybe I don't know the rules. Maybe I can just go and commandeer the building. I don't know. But I don't think I can do that.
Hey, recycling. I just talked with Bruce Woody last hour, and, you know, you guys are still working with Adams to figure all of this out. I also had somebody had said, tell the mayor that the Summit drop-off is completely overflowing. So where do we stand on recycling? How soon if we know? And what about the Summit drop-off?
Yep. So had a meeting with Adams last week as we work through what, and if you think about all of the things that will have to go into place, how are we going to get people to sign up? Who are they signing up with, Adams or us?
Yeah.
Getting the cans back out, marketing it correctly, which is a whole other issue that regardless of what we do. And so there's lots of logistics to think about with this. So, but the conversations are moving forward. I'm actually having another recycling conversation with kind of one of like the national kind of thought leader groups of municipal recycling.
Okay.
I had that meeting today, and just to think about, all right, if we enter into a third party agreement, what should that look like, and all those types of things as well. So we are moving urgently to get no date yet, but that's not for a lack of us tabling it for what we think are more important issues. We continue to move it forward, but I'll tell you, Andrew, and you've heard me mention this publicly already. You know, we also are trying at the same time to figure out, what is the offering from the city when this comes back? Oh, do we just bluntly just keep it at twice a week garbage pickup and then add this as a service? That's probably the simplest thing to do. But we're looking at opportunities. Can we offer the choice of either once a week or twice a week? If you live by yourself and you don't need it twice a week, you know, can you have some cost savings there? So there's a couple forks in the road that we're kind of dealing with at the same time, which we think is the cleanest way to bring a product back to the citizen. So more to come on that, but we're not filibustering. We're ultimately trying to get this thing done as quickly as possible.
All right. Well, you know, the old rule about giving people choices is just make sure you don't give them more than three. you'll confuse them.
Fair enough.
Parking enforcement. You mentioned something yesterday that I don't know whether it was a change from the original plan or not, but that there's a 45-day grace period built in, so it's not August 1st really when the teeth hit. It's September 16th. Did I hear you right?
There's going to be a 45-day grace period for the new time. So from 7 to midnight that we're extending because that's when people said they couldn't find parking spaces.
Got it.
And right now we charge $0. We need to go into the evening so we can actually create inventory for people to be able to park downtown and move cars along. So all of the other things don't work if you're not lowering that demand at the most peak time. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a grace period for that. And that doesn't mean you can park there anytime you want and you get 8 tickets, but it's either one or two warnings that you would get that were after 7 on that license plate. And then eventually there'd be a ticket. You can't just do it every day, obviously. But, we're trying to acclimate everybody as best we can. We don't want someone to have missed the news and not known that, you know. So we want to be as fair to everybody as possible and get us all accustomed to these new changes.
So not the pay on Palafox, but particularly for the later hours, that's going to be a bit of a grace period. Again,
right.
A reasonable grace period based on behavior. That makes sense to me. All right. And just one quick thing before we do the lightning round. Party in the park this weekend, right?
Yeah. So skate park 5 to 9 on Friday with Bike Pensacola and Upward Intuition. And then we're doing an event at the pool on Saturday from noon to 5 at Cecil Hunter Pool. So we want your feedback about what that park's going to be. We're going to look back and say, were you at this thing when we talked about the 1.3 miles and what we do with it? So that's our main goal. But we've got a lot of stuff out there for everybody. We'd love for everyone to come out that would use this park or lives by the park. I'm really proud of our team. We're being as proactive as possible. And all of these things that we need, community engagement with, I would argue we've never been better right now and more intentional about getting community engagement than we are right now. So,
yeah, and I love
so we'd love to hear from you.
I love this idea that instead of calling a town hall or instead of calling a, presentation meeting, what you're doing is you're calling a party and allowing people and seeking input at the party, which that's
correct.
Great approach, especially when the input is needed surrounding amenities that you can entice people to come play with. So I love the approach. We always like to end with a lightning round. Quick questions for you, Mr. Mayor. First question for you is, who was the best or your favorite movie villain?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to say, for me, the memorable one is Bane. I don't know why.
I just think
it was the scariest.
The guy who's going to purge the city of all of its unnecessaries. Okay.
Or maybe the Grand Hotel. I'm not sure.
Bane would have definitely been running his operation out of the Grand Hotel. That seems really obvious. If you had to choose, Is it better to be nearsighted or farsighted?
Oh, man. All these philosophical questions. I would say, I think it'd be better to be near, right? I mean, to be able to read your computer screen, read a book, right?
You side with my wife on that one. People tend to answer it's better to be the one than whatever they are. So in my case, I'd rather be farsighted because I don't have to drive with glasses on. And then the last one, and I'm going to take your preferred answer off the table here. A store that went away that pained or hurt you the most, and you cannot say Blockbuster as a former employee, give me another one.
Toys R Us. I feel like, I mean, man, the experience of going to get a Game Boy game and then going to the cage at the end after you turn it in, the sense of the pure joy is still vivid to me over there off 9th Avenue. You know, that was a big day when you got a new Ninja Turtles Game Boy game or something.
I always knew about you. You didn't want to grow up because you're a Toys R Us kid. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins us on a Wednesday. We look forward to talking to you again next week. As always, thank you for the time and the information. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much.
7:55, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. But if you're heading from Pace into Pensacola on Highway 90, you're still seeing some delays through that construction zone. Other than that, things are flowing good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months. Or take $3,500 in customer cash. The midsize Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months. Or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR are $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And G.I. Joe is swimming underwater.
I tell you, you don't believe me that I am 12 inside. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the saga surrounding the paternity lawsuit against Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is now over. Alexandra Davis and Jones agreed to drop their lawsuits against each other yesterday. That was on the second day of the trial in Texarkana. Davis had sued Jones claiming he was her father. Jones had countersued claiming that they broke a paternity agreement from 1998.
But just not to correct you too publicly, but I do believe it's pronounced Texarkansas.
It, really?
No.
Texarkana.
Having never been through Texas, I'm not sure.
Go on.
Also, President Biden addressing the nation tonight from the Oval Office. This will be his first on-camera appearance since the surprise dropping out of the race last Sunday. That speech at 7 o'clock tonight.
Thank goodness I get to watch Joe Biden speak again tonight.
Aren't you excited?
Yes, I really am. Can't you tell?
Listen on it.